Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
With springtime well underway, what better way to freshen things up than a home renovation or a design project to really tap into that sense of renewal? But where do you begin? What are the current trends telling us? And what are the do's and don'ts of home renovation? I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Clodagh Doyle. She's the creative director and project manager with Placelift. Also joining us is Natasha Rocca Devine of Interior Architect, NRD Design Studio. You're both very welcome to the programme.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Clodagh, we might start with you. I'm interested in how your business evolved. I know you operated with your husband, Ivan, but firstly, how did you get into the business and what is it exactly that you do?
Yeah, no problem. So basically, going back so many years, probably like 12, 13 years ago, we were coming out of the recession and we were both in, I suppose we were in jobs that weren't really igniting us, you know, the way things had changed a bit. So I was like, Ivan obviously was in construction, but I was eager to get involved in some way in it because I've always had a passion. Like going back to even when I left school, it's kind of what I wanted to do, but I didn't do it, you know, that way. So I suppose the way it came about, we were responsible for selling a property, a family member's property, and it was the end of the recession, it wasn't selling. And Ivan and I went in and we said, like, what could we do here to actually really enhance the property and, you know, hopefully make it sell. So through that process, we went in and literally, you know, did everything we could to improve the property. The estate agent came back and he's like, I'm going to take more photographs. This is amazing. And I said to him, I saw online that in America you can do, you know, what's it called? When you can bring the people to the, it's like
viewing.
Stage the home, you know, yeah. And I said, let's do this. So we took new photographs and within 2 weeks we had a genuine offer. So it was true that.
And can I ask you then, and because this is one of the things we wanted to get into, if you're selling your house and you want to make it attractive for somebody to buy the house without spending mad money, because sometimes you got to be careful if you spend too much money that you're not going to get back. So what are the tricks in terms of making the property attractive without spending too much loot?
Well, I suppose it's just making that initial first impression, you know, really good, you know, so that people can imagine living in the space. So it's like basic things as well, having it really tidy and clean, but like not just painting the whole place white, giving it a bit of personality. The kitchen is one way, a great way, that without spending too much.
The tart in the oven stuff.
All that helps, it does, you know. So it's that they can imagine living there and that maybe that they haven't too much to do. But like if you pay attention to every room, you know, you can actually do that.
And you need to look at the house as if you've never lived in it and
exactly.
You were coming along possibly to buy it. And I think simple things like the garden, the grass, all that sort of stuff.
If you leave something out, it'll let it down. It'll jump out and bite you, you know.
Right.
So it was from that experience that we said, could we combine our skills to, and that's how the idea came about. And he said, let's do it. And when he said that, I was like, I kind of had to do it. And I was like, but that's how it started.
Okay.
And evolved into a home renovation business.
And we'll come back to how that works in a second. I want to bring in our next guest, Natasha Rocca Devine. Natasha, tell us a little bit about your business, NRD Design Studio. And I know you had a background in journalism as well as design.
Yeah, so I grew up around media, you know my mom, Michelle. So I grew up around TV sets and everything. So it was in my blood. And then my family were in rocket tiles and tiling. So I've always kind of balanced entertainment and design. And so I have a master's in journalism from Griffith and a master's in interior architecture from KLC in London. And I worked in London. I studied in Milan, Boston, and I was an estate agent in Los Angeles. So speaking of staging, all your wonderful tips you just said, I worked in Beverly Hills Homes. And my first home I sold was Madonna's first home in
LA.
Yeah, it was her first home.
So these were like high-end properties.
High-end property, yeah. I worked in Beverly Hills and Compass Real Estate. So I worked not only myself, I started to get into staging a bit like you were saying, that essentially I saw big staging companies come in, and in LA it's a different ballgame. You know, they have factories and warehouses, these staging companies, and they get the stuff from the movie sets, and it's unbelievable. So I got so many tips and tricks. Long story short, came back, two of my grannies passed away and I wanted to help with my granddad and just kind of evolve from consultancy into staging. So I just really adapted that in Dublin, and Owen Riley, thanks to him, he gave me my first big gig here. And like you, the rest is history, and it just evolved into show home design. I'm moving into commercial design. I've launched a book and candles, and I work, you know, I do radio and media as well. So, you know, mixing it up. But I think all businesses evolve, you know, and I think you have to adapt with the market, like you were saying. And I think right now I want to move more into commercial and, you know, just keep the staging up and everything. But it's, you know, I think you have to be very open in this industry with the market trends. And
so tell me then about you work with Hollybrook Homes.
Yeah, Hollybrook Homes. I've just done a show home. I won an award. Yeah. I'm so happy. In Sandwood and Portlaoise.
Tell me about the show house.
The show.
And the importance of it in selling a development.
Yeah, so
and how you go about building that.
Yeah, so it depends on the developer when you're brought in. Because I've worked with Hollybrook for many years and I'm brought in earlier on. So I see the overall scheme. For example, Sandwood planted 500 trees and it's all about the community. They've invested in the local GAA and everything. So you have to bring the ethos of that whole site into your show home. You have to stay on budget. You have to think of the buyer. So I got a brief that the market was very, it was an Asian market. A lot of people kind of relocating, working for Google and things like that. So you're designing that with the brief in mind. But I always think of three buyers, you know, think of three different people, someone who doesn't have children, someone who does, and then, you know, just be...
You need to appeal to as many people as possible.
And keep it neutral with, you know, anything political or religious. Like, you know, you have to be very open and maximise. The one thing I learned in LA is the USPs, the unique selling points of that property, because each show home is different, each site is different. So whether it's the garden, the lighting, the attic, whatever that is, and then it essentially bring that into one brief on budget and on schedule. So it's like a mini renovation all at once.
And before I go back to Clodagh, show houses, when they've done their job, when they're finished, they sell as part of the estate. Do they normally sell fully fitted and furnished?
So mine has just been sold. I found last week I could do another one because it sold so fast. So someone wanted everything in it. They sold with
So
it.
Someone will just walk in and say, I want everything here.
Yeah.
I want to move
That's
in next
goal.
Week.
Yeah. But I think from statistic wise, from staging in particular, you by staging your property, it should increase the sales price between 5 and 25% and the pace of sale as well. So there's two reasons to do it. So show home, obviously, is that on a bigger scale. So there's stats to back it up. You know, the show homes and staging is necessary.
We've loads of texts coming in. I'll get to those in a second. Just going back to you, Clodagh, in terms of you say that you only work on one project at a time. So you take a project, you work it for... But, you know, my experience around booking builders, making sure they're available, all the other trades that go with it, you know, you might manage one project at a time, but your builder could be on 5 or 6 projects.
Yeah, well, we are the builder as such.
Right.
By the way, so we have our own team of tradespeople, and we site and project manage every project. And over the years, we've built up strong relationships with the various trades. So, you know, it works really well. Now, taking on one project at a time, business-wise, you know, has its challenges. But we've learned, you know, you have to have a contingency. You have to make sure the projects, you know, commence on time, finish on time. In this industry, there's always, you know, there can be delays with suppliers, structural issues, all that. You need to be able to pivot. But ultimately, we're able to devote our full and undivided attention to our customer on that project. And that's the difference.
And how many jobs do you know ahead? So if you're working on one job at the moment, you know, you kind of need to know, do you not, where the next one and possibly even the one after that is. Does that mean if you and I were doing business that... And I said I wanted you to renovate my house, that you'd say, well, I'll talk to you in 2 years or something.
Well,
or
no, but like we could start the process for, you know, because there's always a run-in time and planning. In the way, so we'd gauge how long your project is going to be and what's involved. We'd be honest with our timeline and pipeline. So we tend to do one project and then do a smaller project. They tend to be repeat customers who know and trust us and maybe want a smaller project done. And they're happy to wait and fit, you know, make it fit in. Or we're looking with inquiries that we can take on a smaller project. But it's about just keeping the customer, the likes of you, informed that, you know, we're due to finish this project in this month, you know, with that suit. And then we work and plan behind the scenes so that you're ready to hit the ground. We're ready to hit the ground running with you then at that timeline.
Let's have a look at some of these texts. There's many of them here and keep them coming. 087 1400 106. Hi, Bobby. Currently costing a renovation and retrofit of a standard 4-bedroom semi-D in Dublin. Outrageous quotes coming in, including from supposed one-stop shops from 590,000 down to 370,000. Not a stretch to say you could buy a house for that. Dave is saying Rip Off Ireland is alive and well and trades are absolutely milking people. Bring on a recession so house prices, rents and building prices can reduce to an affordable level again. And that comes in from Dave in Dublin. The cost of building is, and again, I've just completed one, I know, and time is money. But it is, it's like, while there may have been value in doing a doer-upper, buying a house at a particular price, you know, in bad nick or whatever, getting the likes of yourself in, Clodagh, doing it up and then ending up with something. But now the cost of actually transforming a property, it's prohibitive, is it not?
No, it definitely is. It is, like, it's awful for people. The other way, especially, you know, even our last project there, you know, it was a couple who wanted to, they didn't necessarily want to buy a fixer-upper as their first home, but they had no choice in the end, you know, and we finished that and it's all turned out well, but, like, that's their forever home. They've invested everything into that now. The other way, so, but it is, like, supply and demand, it's great to see that people are so interested in, you know, energy efficiency and putting money into the fabric of their home, but supply and demand of the trades and the one-stop shops out there are pushing price up, which is
well, and again, I don't know where this house is, but, you know, Dave is telling us somewhere between 370,000 euros to 590. It's a big number.
That's no extension, nothing. That's a big, big number.
Natasha, there's another one here for you. Bobby, when selling a few homes, I've always found having the dog basket seem to appeal to people.
Oh, absolutely. I have pet interiors. I've got Molly and Monty and Millie, my two dogs. And, you know, the dog bed, even in our house, everyone goes over to it. Everyone loves animals, you know, even if you don't have them. And it's definitely appealing. And a lot of people don't have children now. You know, people have pets.
That's as long as there's no dog hairs around.
Oh, that's exactly. Yeah, exactly. You have to have a short-haired dog. Yes. I have a dachshund. He doesn't have many hairs. But yeah, I think, like, things like that. And then in my last show home, we decided to be brave and put a baby room in, you know, because not everyone, as I said, has kids. So everyone, I think, loves children's rooms. They love playrooms and they love pets. You know, it's just, it appeals, it evokes your emotions. And I think that's what it should do for staging.
Isn't it true, though, Natasha, that a house, it almost provides different, it needs to work differently for you as you, like, I'm in the same house 30 years. And my recent renovation, I've done a few over the years, was basically, now that the kids are all gone, there's just me and Mary and we're trying to repurpose the house maybe for the next, so that you probably should always be looking at your house in terms of, does it serve me now?
Yeah, what is the purpose of the renovation, like Clodagh was saying and stuff? You know, there's no point in spending money, and there's things you can do, like you can respray kitchens. You know, there's kitchenrespray.com. There's different things you can do to not have to do the full renovation. So yeah. I think if you have an office, I think I love multi-purpose rooms because I think they're perfect for your situation, you know, where you can have a children's room. Like we have an attic room as an example. So we didn't put a bed in there because then it's designated bed. We have a couch bed, desk, weights for gym and a TV, so my daughter can move in there when she's older. So yeah. I think if you're moving in now, plan ahead for the future. Don't just build all the bedrooms or the dining room because that's what you're meant to do.
And the work from home phenomena really has changed the
100%
way 100% that we integrate definitely with our homes.
100% And things like, you know, there's lots of different ways to do that. I think, you know, you can even have screens, or as I said, in an attic room. A lot of people are renovating attics, and that's a really good way to not renovate the whole house, Bobby, is just, you know, renovating your attic, like an area of your house. Or there's garden pods and things like that. You know, I prefer to keep everyone in the house because sometimes I think it can separate the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have a business and you need a professional, quiet place, it's a great idea that doesn't require the renovation. But I think you just have to look at your budget. And as you said, the person who rang in, I think it was Dave, who did the quote, like, it is outrageous. And I think my biggest struggle, I just renovated our house, is people, trades. I don't have, you know, for Clodagh, she's, you know, what she's doing is absolutely amazing, because the problem is people not showing up. And we were blessed, we had amazing teams, but, you know, they're waiting on other people, and things are, like with Brexit, there was deliveries not coming in. So there's so many factors in construction. And I think to keep your level, your budget low, and your, you know, your mental health kind of in check, be realistic. You know, like I would say, a lot of people take it room by room, you know, like, you know, everyone, we are in a very hard time financially with property. And I think just be realistic and and talk, give Clodagh a call. She seems like she's on it.
In terms of people being in the house, do you really need to move out if you're getting a serious renovation done?
We're always honest and upfront about that. You know, in most cases, we're doing full rewires and replums.
You can't live around it.
It's dust, it's upheaval, it's stress.
But again, that adds to the cost because somebody may have to rent somewhere.
You know, there's Airbnb and or they'll try with, you know, move in with family if we give them plenty of notice. But like the other side is that we'll get you the job much quicker. The other way, we won't have to tidy up every evening as much as we would if they were there. So that's the benefit of it. You know?
There's another one here that says, could you ask your guests if it's ever worth adding an outside balcony to a bedroom? We're trying to get a sea view from the bedroom, but the quotes are crazy. That comes in from Jess. Sea view is always nice to have.
Always lovely to
have. Probably worth paying something for. Depends on the number, I'd say.
It definitely does, yeah. How good the view is and the cost of it, exactly,
Another texter here says, it can be very difficult to visualise plans to really understand the space, size and layout of each of the rooms in the project. Have you any recommendations on how to overcome this issue?
I was going to say, actually, I have, and they're going to be delighted to be mentioned, there's a thing called life-size plans now where you can go into the plan physically. Mm. So it came from Australia, but there's a fantastic business in Ireland. So you literally walk around, Bobby, and they have furniture.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great idea.
Amazing. It's fantastic. And developers use it, estate agents. It's absolutely amazing. And then obviously you can, they can do like 3D simulators. It's incredible. Honestly, it's the best thing ever. And it's really good value for what it's worth long term. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I should say this in air, but I ordered a bed that was the wrong size for the room. It was too big and I had to send it back and Mary hasn't forgiven me for it yet.
Oh, we've all been there, Bobby.
Yeah, we've all been there.
It's fine. Well, listen, ladies, thank you both for joining us. And my guests today were Natasha Rocca Devine. And thanks for your lovely book as well, Natasha. Welcome. And Clodagh Doyle, Creative Director and Project Manager of Placeif. Thank you for letting us into your world.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.